Good morning, everybody. It is, my name is Matt Watkins, for those of you I don't know, and I'm the pastor of the 11 o'clock service. It's a pleasure to be here and sharing the nine this morning. So I was felt very fortunate as I got this passage, because a lot of the passages that we've been going through in Mark have had much more length to them. And in fact, they've had multiple parts where they're kind of a parable and then another narrative and then a parable. I got one small story here, so kind of a small account that closes out the end of Mark chapter 10. So our passage today has a couple of notable features, some cool things that we can see that help us to understand the gospel narrative as a whole, and some theological truths that the author John Mark is pointing out here for us. So the first one that I want to point out has to do with Jesus' name. So Jesus' name throughout the Gospels, there's multiple different references to Jesus. At times he is referred to as the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of David. And the Gospel authors, Matthew and Luke, kind of use those interspersed all throughout their Gospels, and there's not a lot of order to it. The author of Mark, he goes ahead and he actually lines these up in what seems to be an ordered manner. So when he starts out the gospel, and in fact in the first verse of the gospel, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now each of these terms, Son of God, Son of Man, and Son of David, they actually carry certain implications. And this first one, Son of God, which he starts out the gospel with, is an indication in itself that this is a reference to something that is more than just a person. Okay, so sons of God is a term that was used all through the Old Testament, referred to just people, sons of God, plural. But then Mark uses Son of God, and he makes it very particular here, and he's emphasizing that this is not just a title of nature, it's a title, not a title of office, it's a title of nature. Mark is intentionally emphasizing that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He's pointing to the fact that as the Son of God, he has God as his Father, and he himself is equal to and is himself, therefore, God. So next in the gospel, Mark goes into using for quite a while the term Son of Man. And Son of Man is one of those which Jesus most often referred to himself as. That was his favorite title when he was referring to himself, was Son of Man. So what this emphasizes is Jesus' true humanity, that he had a true human body, that in the incarnation he took on flesh. So Mark uses this to point readers to the fact that Jesus was simultaneously both the Son of God, that he was God himself, and also that he was human, that he was fully man. So here in our passage today, for the first time, out of the mouth of Bartimaeus, Mark uses the term Son of David. So Son of David is one of those that encapsulates this messianic concept, that there was this Messiah who was going to be coming, who was going to come in the line of David. So he's going to be a descendant of the King David, and it implies that this person who is being referred to is the one who is prophesied about. He is the one who they have been waiting for. So another notable feature we see here in Mark has to do with kind of a structure of the book. So there's individuals who feel that Mark chapter 10, verse 45, so the verse that just precedes our section today, said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So there's scholars who identify this as the central theological concept of all of the book of Mark, that this identity that the Son of Man came to serve and to give his life as a ransom, that he came in servanthood, and that he came in sacrifice, and that the book of Mark is actually broken up into these two parts. So everything that goes up to chapter 10 is highlighting his service as he is doing healings, as he's doing miracles, as he is preaching and teaching. And then what we see next is he's going to be heading into Jerusalem, and it's going to, through the end of the book, through chapter 16, is going to be the passion story, right? He's going to be entering into that last week of his life. And all of that is the sacrifice of Jesus. So there's a lot of different theories with regards to books of the Bible and how they're broken up and how you should view them. And in this one, I would say right off the bat, it's not one of those that necessarily we have firm, conclusive evidence that the author intended this to be the breakdown of the book. But I think it has some merit, kind of two-part analysis here. And if we take that two-part framework and we say that that's plausible, and we view this gospel through that lens, then what we have today is the closing part of Jesus' servanthood, the items that Mark emphasizes that are Jesus' servanthood. So in that, he did these healings. He did these things that were serving the people. He came as God coming down, descending to the level of man, and entering into humanity and serving people along the way. One of the other things that's notable about this is the last healing within the book of Mark. So there's other healings that are recorded all through. There's no healings after this, and I think it's really important to see that this is a healing of blindness. So as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, there's this highlighted reality that there are people who have eyes to see who Jesus truly is, and there are people who are completely blind to who he is. So here, this last healing story that we have is of blindness. And then closely related to the topic of healing is the theme of faith. So the theme of faith is notable throughout the book of Mark. The author makes a point to identify situations where Jesus sees faith and he calls out and praises it, or when he sees that there is a lack of faith and he identifies that and he kind of calls out the fact that they're not operating out of faith. So for Jesus, this was in the words of Ken Anderson, he said, "For Jesus, faith and the lack thereof is something that can be seen, it is empirical, it is observable." So faith is one of those things where when Jesus is identifying it, it's because he can see that individuals are acting out the belief that they have, the trust that they have in him. And then the last little kind of detail here about this, I think, that is important is that this is a contrast, I think, to the rich young man. So a couple weeks ago, Matt preached a fantastic sermon about the rich young man. And in that account, the rich young man was pretty sure that he had everything together. He just kind of wanted to work out the final details to figure out what he needed in order to inherit eternal life. And when Jesus pointed things out to him, he went ahead and went his way. He left the situation. And then in contrast today, we have an individual who clearly sees that he doesn't have it all together, that he doesn't have everything that he needs. And when he interacts with Jesus, the final part of our story today is that he goes with Jesus on the way. So the rich young man, when he was confronted with kind of the situation he was in, he left blind Bartimaeus. He followed Jesus. So we're going to take a closer look here. We're going to take a closer look at this account starting in verse 46. As Jesus is heading for Jerusalem, he reaches Jericho. So by the roadside is this blind beggar. He's identified by Mark as Bartimaeus. Bar simply means son. So Timaeus was his father's name, and Mark points that out as well. Now, throughout the four gospel accounts, there's 9 different healings of blindness. 7 of those seem to be specific individuals, and then there's 2 general references where the crowds come and it says that Jesus healed blindness. But of these 7 specific accounts, if we break those down, it appears that in Luke chapter 18, Matthew 20, and Mark 10, they're all referring to this same healing account, this same occurrence where Bartimaeus was healed. Out of all the healings of blindness, Bartimaeus is the only one who is healed who is actually identified by name. In fact, throughout the book of Mark, there's no other individuals who are identified by name when they are healed. There's a couple who are identified by reference. So there was Simon's mother-in-law was healed. We don't know the mother-in-law's name. And then Jairus' daughter was healed. We don't know Jairus' daughter's name. Most of the time, they're referred to as a man with an unclean spirit, a leper, a paralytic, a man with a withered hand, a woman with an issue of blood. So why is it that Bartimaeus is actually named here? Why are we given his name? So it's considered very likely that Mark based the majority of all his writings on Peter. So Peter would have told Mark all of these different accounts of what happened when he was with Jesus, and John Mark took those and he put together what we have as the Gospel of Mark. There's also strong evidence that Mark probably took other eyewitness accounts and incorporated those within the writing of this book. So when he identifies somebody by name, the scholars who go through all of this, they feel that that's very likely that he was recounting something that wasn't just from Peter, but was probably directly from the named individual. So Bartimaeus was one of these guys who probably was continuing to give an oral account of this situation of healing through the early church, and he recounted this possibly to Mark himself. But it's probably something where it was a continued story where people would say, oh, I know Bartimaeus' story. I've heard it before. I've heard it from Bartimaeus himself. So we're told, sorry, I've had a cold the last couple days, so getting a little dry. We're told after the healing that Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the way. So from here, Jesus goes into Jerusalem, and it's the start of the last week of his life. So perhaps Bartimaeus followed Jesus into Jerusalem. We don't really know that. But it's likely that Bartimaeus continued to follow Jesus, continued to be a part of the early church, and continued to tell this story for years to come. So what would this be like? Bartimaeus would be gathered with other individuals, other believers, other people, and he'd start to tell his story and say, you may not know this, but I used to be blind. Couldn't see anything. I lived in Jericho, and I'd go out, and every day I would beg by the road. Sometimes people would have pity on me. They'd give me food. They'd give me money, and that was how I got by, was on other people's charity. I started to hear things. There was these rumors. I was always listening to what was going on around me, and people were, they started talking about this man named Jesus. And at first it was just kind of rumors. There was rumors that he was kind of a miracle worker, that there were signs and wonders happening, that there was things that really couldn't happen. There was people who were paralyzed who were restored to health, that he had authority over evil spirits, that demons were being cast out. Some who started repeating his teachings. I was hearing kind of these rumors of these things that he was teaching, and they would say, this man, Jesus, he teaches not just kind of on his own or on the authority of others, but he actually has authority himself to speak these things, and it's like nothing else I've heard anywhere else. So it's also clear that the scribes and the Pharisees, they don't seem that happy with what was going on. I would hear rumors about the scribes and Pharisees, and I'd hear that they were really angry with Jesus, or they were trying to stop him. That was concerning to me, because the scribes and Pharisees are the most righteous among us, so you know we should pay attention to what they're thinking, what they're doing. But then I heard this rumor that really got my attention, that this Jesus had healed blindness. So you know that got my attention, because here I am sitting every day begging from people because I can't see anything. The rumors continued, and then some started kind of saying, maybe, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Holy One, the Anointed One, the one we've been waiting for? The one that's been prophesied about. And that really stuck in my head, and it stuck in my heart. I couldn't shake it. If this man could heal the lame, and he could cast out demons, and he could restore sight to the blind, then maybe he was the Anointed One. Maybe he was the Messiah. Maybe he was the one that I had been waiting for. Then one day I was in my usual place, sitting by the street outside the city gates. Started to hear the sound of a pretty good-sized crowd. I could tell the difference when just a few people were passing by, and this was a large crowd, and I asked some people who were near me, what's going on? What's happening? They said, Jesus of Nazareth is coming close. When I heard that, I felt like my heart was going to burst. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was the Messiah. And I started yelling. I yelled, "Son of David, have mercy on me! Son of David, have mercy on me!" And the people who were next to me, they said, "Man, Bartimaeus, will you shut up? Keep it down." I did not stop. I said, "Son of David, have mercy on me," and I kept crying out to him. Now, maybe you're wondering, why did I say that? Why was I asking, "Have mercy on me," instead of, "Jesus, will you heal my blindness?" And I'm not going to lie to you. The moment I got in front of Jesus, my intention was to ask him to heal my blindness. But I knew that this must be the Messiah. And I knew that there was nothing that made me worthy of being healed. I tell you, when you're blind, you have a lot of time alone with your thoughts. And I knew, I was very well aware of my true condition. I knew I was blind on the outside, but in my heart, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I was in need of a Messiah. So after I got louder, the most amazing thing happened. Jesus stopped, and somebody near me said, "He's calling you over. Come on over." And I jumped up off the ground and I tossed my cloak, which I'll tell you, that's not a very good idea. If you're blind and you toss something, you're never going to see it again. And then I was there. I was face to face with Jesus. And the Lord asked me what I wanted him to do for me. And I asked for him to restore my sight. And just like that, he said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And I could see. And the first thing I saw was the eyes of Jesus looking at me. And I'll tell you what, Jesus told me to go ahead and go my way. There was no way that I was going to leave him. And I followed him. I followed him from that day. He gave me eyes to see, and I've been telling everyone that I meet about it ever since. Okay, so maybe a little embellishing in there. Bartimaeus himself, when he was telling the story, would probably emphasize different parts at different times. But Bartimaeus was most likely well enough known in the early church that this story that he would continue to tell was one which was passed from person to person and which he would continue to identify, and he would continue to tell to other people around him. So what can we learn from this? What can we learn from this account of healing here today? So the first thing, this isn't something that was on Mark's mind when he was writing this, but really it's one of those things where this can point to the reliability of Scripture. So in the general sense, there's features and evidence here in this which point to it being an eyewitness account. And it's one of those things where it credibly affirms that the Gospel of Mark was written very early, very close to the proximity of Jesus, and it's one of those things where it gives the entire Gospel elements of credibility as we're looking at Scripture. So not the main point, not the main takeaway, but one of those cool things to learn today. What we can see here, though, is that Bartimaeus was well aware of his condition. So in contrast to the rich young man, Bartimaeus did not think he had everything together. He was aware that he was in need, that he had lack. By calling out to Jesus as Son of David, meaning the Messiah, it makes it clear that Bartimaeus' spiritual eyes had been opened. He was aware of his spiritual condition, and he was desiring for the Messiah to heal him. So if we look at the rich young man on one side of the scale and we look at Bartimaeus on the other side of the scale, where would you put yourself on this rich man to the Bartimaeus scale? Are you pretty sure that your eternal life inheritance is all secured and based on how good you are and how well you've done? Or are you on the side of knowing that you have absolute lack and are in need of a Savior, that you're in need of a Messiah? The other one here that we can see is the rich young man. When he was confronted with his situation, he ran away. Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the way. Next thing we can see here, even in blindness, Bartimaeus had this penetrating insight into the person of Christ. And there's a certain irony to this because those who had eyes that could see that were not blind, they were blind, a lot of them, to who Jesus was, not all of them. A lot of the well-educated, the theological, you know, bigwigs of the day, they had eyes that were blind to see what was really happening right in front of them. So Bartimaeus had eyes to see, which Mark highlights as a demonstration of faith, which was observable. And all through Scripture, we see examples of faith, which is observable. We see that in the lives of Noah and Abraham and Moses and the people of Israel, where over and over again, the faith that they have, the belief that they have, is demonstrated through the actions that they engage in. So here we see Bartimaeus moving forward towards Jesus, calling out to Jesus out of faith. So how about you? Do you know Jesus for who he really is? The Son of God, himself fully God, the Son of Man, himself also fully man, and the Son of David, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who has come to bring salvation. Do you have eyes to see? Do you have faith that Jesus is who he said he is? Or are you among those who were standing right there in front of him and couldn't see that he was the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Son of David? So if you are in that position and you go, you know, I've heard about Jesus, I've got a lot of these thoughts going through my head, but I haven't really come to that place where I believe that to be true, that I believe him to be God, that I believe him to be my Savior, and that I am in need of a Savior. What are you willing to do about that? Are you willing to ask the Lord to open your spiritual eyes? Are you willing to open up to someone else about your doubts about the true status of where your heart is at? Because Bartimaeus was aware of who he himself was and who Jesus was, he was passionately persistent in pursuit of Jesus. There was nothing that was going to stop him. Even when they told him to shut up, there was nothing that was going to stop him. So would this describe you? Are you all in your pursuit of Jesus? Are you willing to stand out, be ostracized, make a fool of yourself in your pursuit of Jesus? Are you pursuing Jesus with the passion of a blind man who sees his opportunity for sight passing him by? That's what Bartimaeus had, was that level of intensity in his pursuit. So we see that there were those around Bartimaeus who were just trying to stop him. Rather than helping him get closer to Jesus, they were just telling him to be quiet and stay away. And this can be a convicting one for those of us who have sight, who can see Jesus right in front of us. How are we treating those who are blind, those who are desperate for healing? Are we ushering them towards the Savior? Or are we saying, yeah, be quiet. Stop. Stay away. And then the last thing we see here, are you following him on the way? So Bartimaeus, Jesus didn't actually call him to follow him. Many other situations we see that Jesus said, come and follow me. With Bartimaeus, he said, you're healed, go ahead and go your way. But Bartimaeus chooses to say, no, I'm not going to go my way. There's nothing else for me. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to go with him on the way. So does that describe you? You ready to leave it all to follow Jesus? Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, God, I pray that each one of us would have eyes to see. God, that we would have eyes, spiritual eyes of faith, to be able to see you for who you are. Father, I pray that we would be able to see your true identity, that we would know you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as our God. God, I pray for those in this room right now who do not know you for who you are. I pray that you would open their eyes. God, I pray that they would be able to recognize the need for a Savior and that you are that Savior. God, for those of us who have had the privilege of having our eyes open and being healed by you, Father, I pray that we would have the boldness to follow you, to turn away from all else. Father, to make you the first and only in our hearts and in our lives. Father, I pray that we would be able to follow you on the way, as Bartimaeus demonstrated. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.